Well, hello and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. This is a Bethany Church podcast where we dive deeper into the sermon that is coming up, and it is Easter Sunday 2021, and we are excited about it. My name is Joe, and I'm joined by Tammy DeLau.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, and Pastor Thad Harless. And last week, David kind of kicked off a new series about freedom.
Yes.
And you are continuing that into this Easter message. So, Thad, why don't you just kind of walk us through and we'll jump in as we see fit.
Yeah. So, and just acknowledging David's work last week, thought he did a great job setting the table, saying, hey, guys, here's what to look at. And so if you think about this series, David kind of set the table, right? This is what we're going to talk about. This is the overview and gave us some things we're going to dive into more deeply. And so, of course, we're celebrating Easter, but we're also, what's the first step? What's the first step in the things that David was talking about? And so we'll get into this message. And then the message after that, we're going to be talking about, okay, that's step one. What's step two, or what do we need to be aware of as we continue to find our freedom, right?
Yeah.
And live free in all of this. And so, I'm really looking forward to just seeing how this sermon series unfolds. He set the table, step one, you know, step two, what do we need to do with step three and step four? And so all of these things, just the way it's going to lay out, it's kind of that, you know, what's the first step? Here's some struggle areas. Here's some action steps that we need to do further. And then ultimately, what do we need to look at or to become in that final sermon? And so just really excited to be a part of this series and to see how God can use us. And I'm really hopeful and anticipating that folks that come in on Easter Sunday morning or those that are hearing us online, that they really stop down and think through this process, because no matter where you are in your faith, you can gain from this, and it can change your life and allow you to live free and allow you to experience that freedom. So I'm really, really excited and was so, I just thought David did a great job. Mm-hmm. You know, Tammy and I are often back at the prayer corner, and just, I don't know what people were praying. I mean, I wasn't hearing that, but I was hearing the raw emotion. Mm-hmm. And so people were dealing with stuff. And so it's just good. It's just good.
David told me after his sermon, there was an elderly gentleman who just came up to him, hugged him, and wept on him for like 2 minutes. And I'm like, that just tells you that this is something that people are dealing with. It doesn't matter how old you are. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you are at in your relationship with Christ. Even if you don't know Christ, this message on Easter is going to be something that can cut to the heart anyone, any human being.
Yeah, and I think it's just been so easy in the Christian community to wear our spiritual masks and even use, you know, the phrase, it's all good when it's not all good. And so I think just coming out of COVID and growing tired of physical masks, we're really challenging our people to take off those relational masks and be real. And so
goes Tammy again with a great point.
The relational mask.
Relational mask.
Is there a relational mask mandate that was overturned?
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Oh, no.
That's hilarious. Relational mask mandate.
So I think I'm hoping people find freedom in knowing that we are a church who really are okay with people not being okay, but we don't want them to stay that way, that we have hope, that we have the hope that we have in Christ that we're celebrating this Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that's important too, because I think sometimes, so it's one thing to, wear a mask. Then it's kind of a next step to say, okay, listen, we don't need to wear a mask, and it's okay to not be okay. But we don't need to stop there, or we don't need to glorify the sin almost like it's overpowering us. We need to keep moving forward. It's okay to not be okay, but let's don't stay there, right? Let's as we passionately seek to follow Christ together, right? Let's move towards Christ and let's recognize that Christ has given us the power to move forward into living free and freedom and all of that. And because I think sometimes I will there's this, the pendulum swings all the time, right? And at one time the pendulum was swung so much that Christians were supposed to be perfect and we're known by what we don't do and we just are clean shaven and just all of this, kind of thing. And then the pendulum kind of swung the other way, and there was division about this, and it's, well, you know, we just, We're sinners and we're going to sin and we're just this and we've got challenges too and all of that. Mm-hmm. And the pendulum kind of stuck there, right? Mm-hmm. In some places. And so it's great that I think the church is recognizing, hey, listen, we need to strive for holiness. We need to strive to be close to Jesus. But at the same time, let's recognize where we struggle and let's mm-hmm. come behind each other and support each other and keep moving towards the Lord. And so I think it's great to where you see this in literature, you see this in thought leaders in the church. And that's just fun to see how that, because usually it starts with thought leaders. And it takes a while to trickle down into the local church. Mm-hmm. I mean, people think about these things, but it takes It takes a while for people to be impacted by a thought leader, whoever that is. And then it just kind of trickles down. And everybody says, you know what? There's truth in that. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking that, or I've been feeling that, but here's this, and you know, books are made and or articles, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, change slowly happens. Mm-hmm. And so it's cool to see.
Well, that I think what I heard you say, and I think it's a great point that we want to be real, that we struggle. But so often I'm seeing my sweet sisters kind of hold those labels and say, I am whatever that hard thing is. And I just want to say, stop with the labels. You are a child of the living God. And
amen.
So we've been good, some of us, about being real about our pain, or I'm struck with whether it's an addiction or whatever, but we don't want to wear addiction. We don't want to wear depression. We want to say, here it is, and then throw it at the cross and wear a different badge, that we are child of the living God, that I'm a daughter of the King.
And it's
a t-shirt for somebody.
Get a t-shirt made. I think it's just so cool that Easter Sunday we're doing baptisms, and it's just that dying to sin, like you were talking about, like dying to, that's not my identity. Mm-hmm. I'm not an addicted to alcohol person. I am free in Christ and coming up out of that watery grave. Mm-hmm. And it's just so cool. And I was talking to Lisa Coughlin about it, and she was like, in the many, many years, I don't know how long they've been going to Bethany, but they've never had baptisms on Easter Sunday. I'm like,
really?
This should be a tradition from now on, that people are getting baptized. It should be every Sunday, honestly.
Agreed. I would
just
love
a
to
permanent
see that.
Baptismal over there.
I would love that. You know, it's interesting, yeah, because you say that. I don't think I remember baptisms on Easter until my last church a couple of Easters ago. We just had a group of people needing to be baptized, and we're trying to pick a date, and we're looking at it, and we're like, well, what about Easter? It's like, well, it's you know, you start thinking about, like, it's
why
so packed,
Easter?
It's crazy. But then, wait a minute, that is exactly the time we should have some baptisms.
Absolutely.
Because of what it represents symbolically. I mean, it is the most visual thing in ordinance of the church that we do to recognize.
And you just
that.
Feel the excitement and the love in the air. Like, you hear the clapping. I don't think I've ever seen a baptism where tears aren't rolling down my eyes.
Yeah,
so to think of those that only choose to come at Christmas and Easter, that we can give them a taste of the joy that's theirs to be had.
Yeah.
Good call, Thad.
That's
going to
be super fun. That's going to be a super fun thing.
It is.
Man,
yeah,
awesome.
Looking forward to it.
And I look forward to the day where we are baptism.
Yeah. Well, he's looking forward to it because...
Yeah, my little daughter, my 9-year-old.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Super cool.
She's awesome.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. She loves Jesus already at such a young age. She loves Jesus more than I love Jesus, because she'll be, you know, when your teenager, your 15 and a half year old is just learning how to drive, and they're like, Dad, you didn't use your blinker and you blew through that stop sign. Like, she is learning how to be obedient to Christ, and she's like, Dad, you probably shouldn't do that. I'm like, shut up back there.
I love it so
it's
much.
Funny.
You know, your kids are, they're all at such different places in their spiritual walk. And you know there's going to be some ebb and flow in there. But it is interesting to see, because, you know, Eden is probably like me, a little bit more reserved in some ways. But then Carter is so much like her mom, with her emotions just on her sleeve for the most part. But it's fun, though, because her energy, when she gets so excited about God, just quick story, and I know we're, I was preaching one Sunday, I think this was at my last church, and for some reason we had kids in the service, she was front row, and I'm preaching, and I'm, you know, of course, I'm excited, and I say something, and little bitty Carter, out loud, amen. You know, just, I mean, it just echoes. The whole, everybody starts clapping, like, mm-hmm. in the worship center, because it's a couple hundred people, but, like, you can mm-hmm. see kind of where, and just her little voice does that. Mm-hmm. It was good.
She is precious. One of my favorite things mm-hmm. to do in the prayer corner is I am shocked at how many little lambs come up and want me to pray for them. So, mm-hmm. and Carter's been one of those. And with a heart of love for someone else, it wasn't mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. about herself. It was about someone mm-hmm. she was concerned about not knowing Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. That is she cool. just yeah. found out about that. She just found out about a family member of ours mm-hmm. that is not a professing Christian, mm-hmm. and it destroyed her. She Aww. Just broke down. She had yeah. no idea. And so that Sunday mm-hmm. morning after she found out about that, she went to Tammy and yeah. to pray for mm-hmm. that family member.
It's cool. Even with the each one, reach one, yeah. 21, like Addison was talking about, like, oh man, these people are family members that mm-hmm. don't know the Lord, and she wants to pray for them. It's mm-hmm. it's weird watching her grow up.
Well, and the grief that your baby felt, shame on us, because I don't know that I feel mm-hmm. that grief the yeah. same way. I mean, that's a good challenge.
I think that intentionality and that revelation and that reflection is powerful. Mm-hmm. That's such a good point, Tammy, because I think, so each one, reach one, 21 helps us to be intentional and is a constant reminder to pray for others and to pray for ourselves
yes.
to do this. Mm-hmm. But I think what's happened is, so Carter's initial reaction as a child is her concept of time, mm-hmm. spatial time. So she hears a family member is not saved. And she recognizes the reality of there's a potential of that person going to hell if they don't mm-hmm. confess Christ. That is so immediate to her, and she is not in a place to have a concept of time and distance, and I still have time to share with that person or someone else. It's like, oh, if he dies today, he's going to hell. That immediacy in her, mm-hmm. does that make sense? Like, she doesn't have we hear makes about sense. It and we reflect on it and our heart is saddened, and it should be. Mm-hmm. But hers is amplified because, honestly, we probably think to ourselves, well, there's still time.
And there might be somebody else.
Yeah, and there might be somebody else, mm-hmm. right? But Carter, not having that spatial time dynamic mm-hmm. at her age, it's immediate to her mm-hmm. and it hits her all at once. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. our family member, if this doesn't happen. But you are right. We need to lose some of our mm-hmm. spatial relaxation and time and feel that. And those quotes a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about each one, reach one, with give me Scotland or I die, or give me souls or take my soul. Mm-hmm. Those guys are more like Carter than mm-hmm. like us. And we probably need to be more like mm-hmm. Carter.
My testimony is my grandfather had throat cancer, and I knew he was going to die. And the fact that he was going to die made my little 11-year-old self realize someday, like, I could die. And that was part of what drew me. I mean, I was in a church. My parents didn't know the Lord at the time, but they got me to church with my friend, and I had heard the gospel. But it wasn't until I understood death really happens because someone mm-hmm. I loved was going to die that mm-hmm. I decided maybe to cling on to that Jesus thing. So,
that's so good, mm-hmm. man.
And it's just, it goes back to your message a few weeks ago, I think, on compassion, maybe mm-hmm. 3 or 4 weeks ago, but just having that compassion and that heart of like, man, you got to know Jesus because there might not be a tomorrow for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, I'm getting convicted right now. It's like, who can I go share Jesus with? Because, you know, you think about, we had family members in, and we got friends coming in this weekend that are family, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I consider them aunt and uncle to my kids, right? And all of them are saved. I mean, mm-hmm. but it's just one of those dynamics when you think about the promise of heaven and you recognize the challenges that are still in this world, mm-hmm. you long for that millennial reign, or you long for that heaven on earth, or you long for that mm-hmm. that time. And I think the older that you get, I think you kind of begin to long for that more in a way.
It's true.
I remember being like, don't come, God, I need to go to prom.
Right.
Oh, man.
I want to get married. You know, uh-huh. So, yeah, it's like, now I'm like, come, Lord Jesus, come.
No, sadly, sadly. And this is good that our podcast is just totally off the rails.
Yeah, we're not even on the notes.
But sadly, though, you know, when you think about eternity coming, when you think about Christ returning, the older I get and being a pastor mm-hmm. and you guys being Christian as well, and Tammy being ministering here, the stories that you hear, and there's so much joy, and there's great things out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the pain and the things that people go through,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we talk about them with our spouses as appropriate, you just say to yourself, man, this world is broken.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And Satan has got his claws in so many things, mm-hmm. in this world system. And, you know, again, I want to see my girls find Christian men. And one day,
mm-hmm.
a long time from now, you know, the Lord is come back. You know, I'd love to be a grandpa,
years.
Right? You know, all that kind of stuff.
It's pretty awesome.
And see how that mm-hmm. works for us. But, you know, but the older I get, though, it's like, man, God, if you come back, your rule will be perfect and just and mm-hmm. compassionate and all these
right
things.
On.
And so whatever that is for my kids, it'll be exactly what is the mm-hmm. best thing for them. And that just allows me to be hopeful. I was reading a Tim Keller book or a new edition of it, and it was talking about the suffering and evil and all this kind of stuff in the world and mm-hmm. how God gives it meaning and how he, you know, in a sense, what is done it will be undone.
Mm-hmm.
In the future. Just beautiful argumentation there. And man, it made me look forward to eternity and just mm-hmm. seeing the beauty that God is gonna bring with all these things. And mm-hmm. and it, you know, anyways, it just made me grateful for even some of the hurt in my own life and seeing how God has changed things and how he will be changing things.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
man, mm-hmm. it's good stuff.
It is good.
It's
stuff.
Good.
One question will be on the small group notes is from the podcast. You know, we talked about this. You know, what you know to do that. All right, so to the message.
Back to the sermon.
Yeah, to the message.
Oh, that's a name. Back to the sermon.
Back to the sermon. I like that. Well, here's the thing, God. There's no condemnation left for us. I opened it all up with the reference to the Matrix, right?
Yes.
And talking about how Neo won the war when he defeated death, so to speak, and this rule of the machines there. In that, now there's still battles to be fought, right? It's over, but it's not over yet
mm-hmm.
because there's people that still needed to be freed. And although he had won the ultimate victory, and so one of the great things is realizing as a first step in Christians that there's no condemnation for mm-hmm. those who confess Jesus. Romans 8 mm-hmm. 1 and 2 there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow, do we need to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That's so good. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Do we feel that? Do we mm-hmm. know that? And that's really getting at where we're going at in this message. And so just that concept that there's no condemnation, that we are free.
Mm-hmm.
Those declarative statements are so powerful because there's going to be people out there, like we're going to talk about the message is, you know, there's some people out there that really think that God can't forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
They've done something that he cannot forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's people who are out there that, yes, I understand that God has forgiven me, but I'm too dirty, I'm too shameful, mm-hmm. you know, after this fact to where God can't use me or God can't, mm-hmm. you know, what have you. And so I feel like those two groups of people particularly need to be reminded of the power of Christ as we celebrate Easter for what he's done on the cross and through his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this message is also important for those who maybe have forgotten how awesome God is and the fact that we do all have, you know, a sin. And no one's out there saying, yeah, this message really doesn't apply to me because I don't struggle with sin, okay? That's equally not true.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, pay attention to the message, but really, I think there's probably fewer of us out there who say to themselves, I don't struggle with sin.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not really that bad. I think we all know I pray and hope we all know ourselves reflectively enough to know that, no, yeah, I've still got a long way to go. I don't care how far down the road you are, got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
and Yeah. And the more we know each other, we probably also can amen that, right? It's like, yeah, there's
oh, yeah.
flaws in our character that our friends will see in time, and mm-hmm. and thank goodness they're patient.
And I think it's good to have each other to point yes. out those, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. if you think you're perfect, just get married, and then yes. you'll find out you're not perfect.
And throw a kid or two in there, and really on your knees.
Yeah, and you know, and you'll be convicted of your shortcomings, and mm-hmm. because that is your first, primary, and most important lab. And often that's where you feel the worst. I feel that to my self, you know, I feel that myself because, you know, COVID has just been such a crazy time mm-hmm. and then things have been busy. And then for us personally, you know, with the move and the transition and all that,
yeah.
it's like, man, like one of the times that were most precious to us as far as family devotionals was at the dinner table. Mm. But it has been so crazy this year. We have not been consistent with our prayer and devotional time as a family. And I'm responsible for that. That is pointing the finger right at me. And I was convicted about that just this last week. Mm-hmm. Because with family, and my sister has some allergic reactions to certain foods. And so we cooked a lot. And I was like, man, we have not sat at the table mm-hmm. enough. You know, and,
yeah.
and I mean, I remember my daughter in between dinner or, you know, dinner and dessert, you know, she'd go get the Bible. She knew that was family devotional time a couple times a week. So,
cool.
Anyways, got to do that. But so with people thinking this, God couldn't forgive me or, you know, I'm too much of a mess now. God can't allow me to walk in freedom. I wanted to kind of go back and say, yes, you're right. It is humanly impossible, but God is the God of the supernatural. He's a miraculous God.
Yeah.
And what's awesome about that is he's not just God was miraculous and awesome in the past, but Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday mm-hmm. and today mm-hmm. and forever.
Yes.
Don't put limits on what God can do mm-hmm. and know that, you know,
Amen.
If he's the God who did all of these wonderful miracles. Mm-hmm. And if you look at some of the quotes I use there, you know, I talk about this with Grudem defining a miracle and talking about how it bears witness to himself. Webster's Dictionary talking about manifesting divine intervention. David Hume, a transgression of a law of nature. All of these things. These are impossible things that God has mm-hmm. done and God can do in our lives. And so as I was thinking about how do I want to approach this? How do I want to talk about how awesome Jesus is and what he can do? I thought, you know what? Probably if I just did what the apostles did, mm-hmm. that would be the way to go. How they talked about it, how they mm-hmm. spoke about the resurrection and when the Holy Spirit came yeah. on them. Mm-hmm. So I went back to Acts chapter 2 and guess what I found? Verse 22. Peter, what did you say mm-hmm. when you were telling about how awesome Jesus was yeah. and why they should submit their life to him? So verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourself knows. You know what? Nowhere in the Bible does anyone say Jesus didn't do miracles. Nowhere in the Bible do they try to say anything that he was not a miracle worker, there was not signs and wonders done. Now, they would say, well, for the power of Satan, he does these things. But but you do, yeah, dangerous.
Don't do that.
Dangerous. But
they obviously didn't have cancel culture back then.
No, they didn't. But it was. Okay. But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, and I have seen it before, but just seeing it again, it's almost like seeing it for the first time. Mm-hmm. So Peter's coming up here giving the case for Jesus, and he starts with, "Hey, this guy did this stuff right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
There's no denying
right.
he was miraculous. There's no denying he could do things that no one else mm-hmm. could do. This man was attested mm-hmm. to you by God. And we need to hear that and remember
yeah.
that.
Right. And I think that's why it's so important for us to be real about what's mm-hmm. going on, because then people can see the miracles that God has done in our life. I know I was leading a study on Tuesday, and it's one that I had led years ago, and at that time I was in a super dark place. I had a sister dying of cancer and a child in major rebellion and another sister that was struggling with alcoholism. And so as I filled in my blanks, my words showed the pain that I was in. And so mm-hmm. I just really felt like I need to read these words to the ladies this week so they know I understand when it's hard and when it feels almost hopeless. And so that's part of that taking the relational mask off. If it just like they knew what Jesus has done, people can know what Jesus has done in our life if we're willing to share the yuck, and it's hard to share the yuck sometimes. So,
but I think it was so powerful. So these guys were, many of them were witness to a lot of these miracles or heard. Mm-hmm. And if you look at like walked on water, stilled the storm, power over external circumstances, we need God. We need to know that he has power over external mm-hmm. circumstances, power of provision for our lives. He multiplied loaves and fishes, turned water into wine. God can do miraculous things through providing for us. And the power over spiritual and the physical realm. He healed the sick and the blind. He defeated Satan in the desert and on the cross. And of course, he even shone his divinity with his transfiguration. I mean, there's not a thing in your life that God can't overcome or handle.
That really doesn't fit into one of those three
categories.
That doesn't fit into one
of those three categories. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we need to internalize that. Man, God can. God can. And where God doesn't, in some sense, zap it like this, but he's still working that miracle through our life. But there's something that there's a reason why he's doing certain things for his glory, for our good, for humankind's good. But you need to know categorically, God, Jesus can handle anything in your life. There's nothing he can't do. Mm-hmm. So powerful truth there. So as he continues on, he goes from this and then goes right into the cross and goes right into the resurrection. So in verses 23 and 24, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. And I'm going to come back to that one. Don't think I'm not leaving that one. But you got to come back to that at the end. That you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pains of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Wow. I mean, just, okay. So he says, listen, this guy was attested to you. Right? Mm-hmm. And this is what you did. According to God's plan, this is what you did. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened in response. Mm-hmm. Not even sin and death can keep him down. And he keeps going back to this being raised from the dead and crucified. So the next chapter over in verse 15, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised to the dead. And to this, we are witnesses of it. Mm-hmm. We have seen it. Keep going in the next chapter, 4:10. Mm-hmm. Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this man, this healed man is standing before you. Well, awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. Key to the other apostles' teaching, Romans 10:9. Listen to Paul talk about it. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and watch this, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Look at the importance again of confidence in the resurrection and confidence of this miraculous power and what it means for Christ to be resurrected.
So the faith traditions that start an Easter service with, he is risen, and they shout back, he is risen indeed, is actually a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Can I do my announcements that
Can
way?
I
Can,
do
I
it?
Can
I
start?
I have done many Easter's. Last first words I say is, he's risen. And then it's cool because everybody in response knows it.
Yeah.
He's risen indeed.
Yeah.
And I would say, and you can look at historically, because you talked about that. I'm trying to remember when historically that the symbolism of the cross really took hold and became the dominant symbol of Christianity. Because before that, it was more of either the fish and then the empty tomb and the resurrection had some type of, I don't want to say greater because it's always had a great appeal. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so. We emphasize this sins being forgiven on the cross. Mm-hmm. But without the resurrection, everything's moot. When I talk to people about what sealed my heart, I mean, Christ moved in supernaturally, but what sealed my heart is I truly believe he got up from the dead. Because if he didn't get up from the dead, nothing's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. But I believe with everything. And you look at these pronouncements, Paul talking about, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then when he's talking about here, that and Peter saying again in another place in his own letter, in verse 3 and 4, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, 1 Peter. So we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Mm-hmm. And then Paul, when he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 15, and if Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. And of course, verse 20, but in fact, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And then the early church creed, 15:1-8, I won't read it all for time's sake because I know we're running long. But it's in first importance that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day.
Yeah.
These truths should inspire us, and empower us, and to know that these miracles did occur, and because of this, we are forgiven. Because of this, He can handle all of these. It was attested, and we can look towards Easter Sunday and resurrection, guaranteeing all these things continue to be true.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how exciting it was for those Jewish Christians who had seen sacrifice and death for their and sin, and it leads to death, and over and over again, death and death and death and blood and blood, and this time there's death and there's blood, but there's resurrection. Like it had to be
the hope.
Yeah. The symbolism that they understand, the ugliness of sin and the death that came. I don't know that we grasp the same way as those who were doing temple worship.
I just wonder that that transition period from when Christ was crucified, those days between crucifixion and his resurrection appearances, and the change in those disciples, that, that just low as low can be, and then just through the roof, through the roof.
One thing that stood out to me too as you were reading it was how Peter was like, "You killed him."
That's wrong.
And it's just crazy how bold he was, and yet it's still true today. Like, I killed him because of my sin. That's what put him there. And it's not the cross that was the miracle. It was the resurrection that was the miracle.
Yeah, because lots of people were crucified. Right, but everything is guaranteed through the resurrection, because it's unfathomable. But you know, what if Jesus didn't get up from the dead? You know, how do we know that any of it's true? How do we know that it's guaranteed? It would just cast a shadow on everything. But again, the apostles, and even Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, he talks about appeared to the apostles, appeared lost, appeared to me as lastly as one untimely born, but he even said that appeared to 500 brothers at once. I mean, there's not a single thing he did. There's no hallucination theory. There's nothing that you come up
and
with.
And weren't there some people that rose from the dead at that time too?
I mean, it was
prophets and stuff.
It was insane. Boy, there could be some Christian fictional novels that could be written about that unique
just
time
that
period.
Part.
Yeah.
That would be
I'm
interesting.
Home for dinner.
Somebody call Brennan McPherson and tell him to write a book.
Well, I know we're running out of time, but again, Acts chapter 2, and I said I'm going to come back to it. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. And then Ephesians chapter 1, in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ. God always knew this was going to happen. This was not a surprise to God. And since the foundation of the world, he loved us and knew he was going to do this. And it tells us here that he knew this all then so that we can be holy and blameless before him. And so freedom has been won. It was always going to be one. And now we need to begin to walk in that because of the resurrection. So now is the day of salvation, right? And so I'm praying that for this coming Sunday that people will experience salvation or, in one sense, re-experience it in the freedom that they've, you know, let me tell this to you again because it never gets old.
And may it never get old.
Amen.
For us.
Amen. Well, do you want to pray us out, Pastor Thad, and pray for the people that are going to be here on Easter Sunday and hearing the message that, man, the Holy Spirit would just be consumed in this place and ruin people's lives?
Let's do it. Lord, we just humbly bow before you. God, we ask for this upcoming Sunday. Lord, we pray that, God, that we would be preparing our own souls to experience your outpouring come this Easter. Father, we pray for each one, reach one individuals, Lord Jesus, all of those names were turned in and those we haven't even thought about. We pray that you bring in a mass of people, even during this crazy, uncertain time of, you know, mask or unmask or whatever that is. God, you bring them in so that they would experience your glory. Father, I pray that we would be redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity, that you would be fulfilling or filling us with wisdom, God, so that we would invite, that we would invest, that we would pray for those that we need to invite to our Easter services. God, it's an opportune time, Lord Jesus. We know that these are the days of grace and salvation. So I pray, God, that we would take every opportunity to invite those to our services. And God, I pray through every smile, touch, our ushers, our greeters, our ministers working with our children, God, for every single service, for our worship team, our tech team, God, and for speaking the word through me. Lord, you move, you save, bring glory to yourself, allow people to find freedom for the first time and for the thousandth time, God, in our services. And let this be, God, do something miraculous, and let this be a miracle Sunday that's going to be a marker for us, that we would point back to that Easter. God did something, and he continues to do it, Lord. But let us be able to point to this day for your glory as we celebrate what you've done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.